Hey, man, thank you so much and good morning. Welcome to Life Point. It's great to see you here. If you're visiting with us, I want to say a special welcome to you. We're very glad that you've chosen to come and be with us this morning. And I pray that you will see Christ in what we do. I pray that your life will be touched by this hour together. I walked up here this morning and I saw this little note that was placed up here. It said, "Hey, Dad. No worries, okay? Just say what God tells you to say. Nothing less and nothing more. Just God, only God. Love, Caroline." How's that? Thank you, sweetie. I will do my best to live up to that today. Well, last Sunday we began a three-part series called Charting Our Course for the New Year. If you missed that, today's message may not really let you hit the ground running with all that information, but it's available online and you can listen to that. But I want to pick up with part two of that message today. And we looked at two main verses last week. If you'd like to turn back to those, you're welcome to. One of them is Proverbs 27:1. Proverbs 27:1. And the other one is Psalm 139:16. I just want to recap those two verses as they lay an important foundation for all three of these messages. We're talking about facing a new year with all of its potential, with all of its promises, with all of its hope, and with all of its unknowns and uncertainties that will surely come our way. How do we face the unknowns of a new year? What's the best way to handle that? Well, you and I are creatures who are caught in a rather extreme balance. One end of that balance is found in Proverbs 27:1. And it says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day will bring forth." I'm sure you've all figured this out by now, but we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen 5 minutes from now. We live as creatures bound in the present moment alone. We have no clue of what's around the bend. That's the one extreme. Psalm 139:16 gives us the other extreme. From God's viewpoint, it says, "All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." On one hand, you and I are walking into the future completely clueless. But as children of God, we're really not. Because while we can't see tomorrow, while we can't see what this new year holds for us, God can. He has already been there ahead of us, and He has charted out all the days of our life in His book before one of them ever came to be. Some of you may be familiar with the name Horatio Spafford. He was a Christian businessman who lived in Chicago and suffered tremendous financial devastation in the Great Fire of Chicago of 1871. He lost everything. And he and his wife, when this event occurred, were still grieving the loss of their only son, who had died not long before that. And Horatio Spafford decided that it was time for his family to take a break and take a vacation in order to get some rest. And he had heard that his personal friend Dwight L. Moody was preaching a revival in England. And so he purchased tickets on a ship for him and his wife and his four daughters to leave and travel to England in order to spend some time there with D.L. Moody. And at the last minute, some urgent, very pressing business needs arose, And Mr. Spafford had to stay behind and promise that he would take the next ship as soon as he could and catch up with his family. And as he waved goodbye to his wife and his four daughters, he had no idea what the future held. That ship got out into the middle of the ocean and sank. And all four of his daughters drowned. His wife was miraculously rescued. She was picked up by another vessel and taken on to England, where she telegraphed her husband back in Chicago with these two words, "Saved alone." Horatio Spafford was obviously devastated by the news. And he boarded a ship as soon as he could and set sail to go and be with his grieving wife. He asked the captain of that ship if he would notify him when they went over the spot where his wife's ship had sank. And in the middle of the night, the captain came and alerted Mr. Spafford that they were nearing the location. And he walked out onto the deck of that ship in the moonlight and looked out at the rolling ocean. And even in that moment of unspeakable personal grief and loss, he was able to find an anchor point in his soul. And he stood there and began to pen the words that have become one of the most well-known hymns for the last 100 years. As he stood on the deck of that ship, he began to write the words, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, or when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." How in the world could any human being make such a statement in the middle of such personal pain and devastation? There's only one answer. One answer. And that answer is found in what I want to talk to you about during these three messages. Last Sunday, we looked at the first of these three points, that if we are going to face the unknowns of the new year, whether it is prosperity and blessing and the best year we've ever had, or whether it is a year of heartache and trouble, one of the navigational tools that God has given to us in order to face the unknowns of the future, and one thing that we must surely be grounded in, is a renewed confidence in the absolute providence of God, knowing without hesitation that whatever comes into our life has first passed through the hands of a loving God. And as followers of Christ, when things sweep into our life and bring us to our knees, we can have confidence in knowing that it has come from the hands of a loving God. And while it may not seem best for the moment, we can be sure that it is best overall, and that God knows what He is doing in your life. I want to just share something with you before we move on to the second point we're going to talk about today. I've told you this a number of times before. You know, I don't get my sermons from a pastor's annual book of sermons. They're great and they're good for, you know, sparking ideas or whatever, but you know, whoever wrote those has no idea who we are, what we're going through, and it really sort of leaves out somebody really important called the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, my family will attest to this fact that I spend hours and hours and hours and hours every week preparing these messages and listening to the Holy Spirit, trying to gauge where we are as a body and what God would have me say today. I've also told you that several times a year when I prepare messages and I think I've got a pretty great one together, God will step in at the last minute and make me change it completely. Well, I'm glad that doesn't happen often because it would wear me slap out. But for the last 2 weeks prior to today, it has happened 2 weeks in a row. The Christmas message that I had planned, which was a really good one, by the way. Friday night before, God said, "You're not using that. I want to change things up." And I'm telling you, if I had brought the original message, it would have messed up the whole service. But I brought that message called A Light in the Darkness, and so many of you said, "That's exactly what I needed." The following Sunday, which was last Sunday, New Year's, I was going to bring you a message called Leaving the Past Behind. Here we are facing a fresh new year, a great chance to leave the past behind and move on with God. It was another brilliant message. You know I'm kidding, right? It was pretty close to brilliant anyway. Same thing happened. God said, "No, it's not what they need to hear." And I was like, could you have told me that like a week ago, 2 weeks ago? That would have been helpful. Sometimes I think God just sort of takes us to a point of exhaustion or brokenness just to see if we're going to obey him anyway and be faithful to him. Because it'd be a whole lot easier just to go on with my plans. Well, listen to this. I just we're talking about God's providence and his leading. So I changed the whole thing and put this together, talking about these 3 points of trusting and following God as we navigate the new year. I brought the message last week about trusting in the absolute providence of God in our lives, that whatever comes into our life, we can trust him with it, good or bad. Now, I want to tell you, sometimes when I stand up here and bring a message, there is a heaviness in my heart as I bring that message. I can sense that God is using that moment in some powerful way because something is going to happen and somebody needs that word. And there are times when I preach messages that I'd rather not preach because I'm standing up here thinking, "Lord, is it going to be me?" Little did I know that 2 days later, Todd Plouffe, who usually sits right over here, would be closing up his restaurant when a gunman would walk in and shoot him at point-blank range. Who knew? And in the emergency room that night, family gathered together. Guess what we talked about? The providence of God. And how no matter what comes into our life, we can trust him with it. One of our men told me this morning, I had no idea of this either. He stopped me on the way in and said, "Thank you for that message last Sunday. That was the exact anniversary date of my wife's death. And I needed to hear that again, that even though that tragedy came into my life and was so painful, I can see the goodness of God through it all, how he's carried me through and how he's provided for me another wife who loves me and who I love." Listen, folks, when we're here on Sundays, we're not just filling up an hour of time. We need to ask ourselves the question every time we come here, "God, what do you want to say to me today?" And I'm telling you, an attitude like that will revolutionize the way you view coming to church. And so I pray today that what we're going to talk about this morning, the second point, will be tailor-made for somebody here who needs to hear this. First of all, we need to have a renewed confidence in the absolute providence of God. Secondly, if we're going to face the unknowns of this new year, we need to have a renewed comfort in the promised presence of God. Now, next week, God willing, we're going to hit the third point, which is a renewed contentment in the unfailing provision of God. And all three of these things tied together will give us tremendous hope and tremendous help as we navigate this coming new year. But today I want to speak to you about this second point, a renewed comfort in the promised presence of God. As you read through the Bible, one of the most amazing things that will come out again and again and again throughout the Scriptures is the fact that this God who created the universe by His spoken word is a God who desperately longs to be near you. He longs for His presence to be with you. You don't have to turn to these verses. Let me share some with you. Listen to the language of these verses from God to His people. Leviticus 26:11, I will put my dwelling place among you, and I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. My people. Exodus 29:45, then I will dwell among the Israelites and be their God. They will know that I am the Lord their God who brought them out of Egypt so that I might dwell among them. Ezekiel 37:26, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an everlasting covenant. I will establish them and increase their numbers, and I will put my sanctuary among them forever. My dwelling place will be billions of miles away in space. Is that what he says? No. Listen to what God wants. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. As we trace the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, there are a number of themes that run like ribbons throughout the Bible. Every book of the Bible, we see these themes. One of those themes, one of my favorites, is what we're talking about today. That we have a God who does not sit aloof and distant and detached in heaven. But we have a God who, if I can be so bold as to say this, pines for us and craves to be with us. Our golden retriever, Rusty, you know, I'm not being irreverent when I say this, but that dog is a picture of what I see, how God feels about you. Everywhere we go, that dog follows us. He doesn't want anything. He just wants to be with us. If he's outside, he cries and he whines because he just wants to be near us. And often when I'm working in my office, he'll come in and he'll just lay right beside me and he'll put his chin on my shoe or his paw on my shoe just to say, hey, I'm so glad I'm here with you. And as you read the Scriptures, that's the picture you get of God. He chases after us, wanting to be with us. As I said, we see it from beginning to end. Genesis, we see this, that God would come down in the cool of the day and he would walk and talk and fellowship with Adam. What happened when Adam and Eve sinned? They went and hid themselves from God because they were ashamed. In Genesis 3:9, one of the most amazing verses in the Bible, God comes down as usual in the cool of the day to be near Adam, and he can't find Adam. By the way, he knew where Adam was. He didn't ask this question because he didn't know. He asked this question because he wanted Adam to know where he was. And he calls out, Adam, where are you? And he's saying, I miss you. I'm here to meet you and to be with you. Where are you? And you go all the way through to the end of the Bible, to Revelation 21:1, and you read these words. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. What a picture. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. Is that just me, or does that give you chills to think about that? The presence of God with us. You say, what does all that have to do with the new year? It is this very promised presence of God that gives us the courage we need to face whatever this new year will hold. Because we can know with total assurance that whatever comes, we are not alone. He is with us. He is with us. God is with us. Yes, we saw last Sunday that whatever comes into our life has come through the loving providence of God. But friends, let me ask you something. What good would it do to know that if we knew that God was not with us? It would not help us at all, because life without Him would be hell. Can you imagine an existence without the promised presence of God? I couldn't bear to think about facing tomorrow without knowing that God has promised to always be with me and to never leave me. And knowing that we have the promised presence of the eternal God with us in this new year ahead will bring us several very, very important benefits. And I just want to share one with you today. It will give us courage instead of fear. It will give us courage instead of fear. In the Old Testament, we read the account of Joshua and how Joshua was standing there facing the most intimidating, threatening, frightening, overwhelming task of his life. His leader, Moses, had just died, and now all of the work falls upon Joshua. And Joshua now has been told by God that he must lead the people across the Jordan, defeat the enemy, and take the promised land. And I'm telling you, this is a task that has overwhelmed all of those people. They're shaking in their shoes. Listen to Joshua 1:5. God says, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. You see, between Joshua and this enormous, intimidating task stands the God of the universe. And knowing that God is with him is all Joshua needs to give him the courage to face that task. God did not say, Joshua, you're going to win this because you've got the best army. You ever notice that? God didn't say, Joshua, you're going to win this because you are the most brilliant military strategist I have ever known. God didn't say, Joshua, you're going to win this because you've got more people than they do. None of those were true. God simply said, Joshua, Joshua, listen up. You do not need to be afraid. Why, Lord? Because I'm with you. Period. I'm with you. That's all you need to know. You leave the rest to me. And that same God, listen, church, the God who spoke that in Joshua 1:5 is not a different God than you and I serve today. We understand that, right? The same God who spoke those words to Joshua is the same God who is with you right now. The same God. And He has promised to be with you in every moment of your life. You won't have time to turn to these. Let me just share a small sampling of scriptures that I hope you can take courage in. The Bible is filled with these promises. Ezekiel 33:14, the Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Hey, anybody frazzled today? Christmas and New Year's will kind of do that to you sometimes, won't it? Anybody feeling unrest in your soul? Listen, the place you need to search for rest is not in all the things the world has to offer. Jesus Himself said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." It's His presence. 2 Kings chapter 6, I shared this story with you one time. An army had come and surrounded the prophet Elisha. And his servant got up that morning, and remember, he opened the door and looked out and saw the army surrounding him. And I mean, he just had a heart attack. He calls Elisha, "Come here, we're in trouble, we're going to die. Look at how many there are out there." I love this story. This must have just been one of those great moments in his life. He must have just put his hand on that servant's shoulder, and he prayed and he said, "Lord, open his eyes." You see, his physical eyes saw the threat, but his spiritual eyes were closed. The Bible says that God opened the servant's spiritual eyes, and he looked and he saw that the hillside was filled with chariots of fire and angels from God. Elisha said, "Hey man, there's more with us than there are with them. You just have to see it. God is with us. He's with us." Genesis 26:24, "Abraham, do not be afraid, for I am with you." Genesis 28:15, "I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go." Joshua 3:7, "I am with you as I was with Moses." Isaiah 41:10, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Isaiah 43:5, again, "Do not be afraid." Why? "For I am with you." Jeremiah 1:8, "Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you." Jeremiah 1:19, "They will fight against you, but will not overcome you." Why? "For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." And then so beautifully, at the very end of the book of Matthew, the last verse in Matthew, when Jesus has finished His earthly ministry, and He's now turning it all over to the disciples, and He's going to leave and ascend back to heaven, and they're going to be on their own. Or are they? Jesus speaks these final words to them, and He says, "Surely, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." And I'll tell you, as long as I embrace the promised presence of God in my life, I will not be fearful whatever comes my way. God is with me. He is with you. And having confidence in that one fact alone will make even the most timid Christian as bold as a lion. I remember when I was a boy in South Africa, there was one point there where there was this bully kid at school, and I remember it so well. And I mean, he would pick on everybody mercilessly. And, you know, we'd all do what we could to avoid this guy. But I also remember that one of my friends had an older brother in that same school who was just a brute. This is a big guy for his age. And every time we thought we were going to have to go near where this bully was, guess who we'd look for? We'd go look for his big brother. Hey, man, where is he? We gotta walk through the playground there. Let's go get him. And whenever we would walk through with his big brother casting his shadow over us little kids, we would strut through that area like, yeah, that's right, man. You can't mess with us. Look who's with us, you know? See, the strength wasn't coming from us. The strength was coming from knowing who was with us. Hey, listen, if little kids on a playground can draw that kind of confidence from another kid who just happens to be a bit bigger, how much more, children of God, should you and I draw the confidence and the courage that we need to face whatever comes into our life? Because we know that we don't have somebody's big brother with us. We have God Almighty with us every step of the way. And whatever Satan and his bullies bring our way, we can just say, pal, I'm warning you. Look who's with me. Look who's with me. There's nothing that can come into our life that can harm us if God is with us. Nothing. No combination of cells in my body can mutate into cancer and kill me until the moment God is finished with me. No gunman's bullet can take my life until God is finished with me. That is why Todd Plouffe is alive this morning and not dead. We are invincible until the moment God is finished his work in us. We are invincible. Nothing can take us out of this world unless God says it's time. Why don't we live with that kind of courage? As long as you and I are well aware of the promised presence of God, church, I want to tell you, we can face the unknowns of this new year with an overwhelming comfort in our hearts, confidence, and courage instead of fear. When my kids were younger, they did what your kids did and all kids do. I remember there were several times when they had been playing in the backyard that afternoon and they had left something out there and we needed them to go get it. And now it's dark. You know what happens, right? 2 hours ago, it was fine. They didn't need me. They were out there playing and having a good time, but now darkness has fallen. And I would say, Caroline, Nick, you need to run out in the backyard and get your stuff, please, and bring it in. And I'd watch them, and they'd head to the back door, and they'd stand there. And then they'd turn around, they'd come back, and they'd go, Daddy. I go, yeah, I know what's going. Daddy, would you go with us? Well, why, honey? Well, I just want you to go with me. Same backyard. Been in it hundreds of times. But you see, the darkness now has brought an unknown element, and they're filled with fear. Guess what, folks? I'd go down, and I'd take their hand, and I'd walk with them through the backyard. And now they're laughing and talking and skipping and as carefree as could be. Why? Did I make the sun shine? No. I was just with them. And my presence brought them comfort and rest. Does that make sense? My presence brought them comfort. I wonder this morning if you know the presence of God in your life. Well, I don't mean do you know about God. We all know about God. I know about Abraham Lincoln, but I never knew him. Do you know God this morning? You say, yeah, I've been to church a lot. No. Friend, going to church will not make you a Christian any more than going to an airport will make you a pilot. I'm asking you this morning, have you ever come to a place in your life where you have bowed your knee before God and bowed your heart before Him and said, Lord, I am lost without You. I need You in my life. Oh, I want to tell you, I can't think of anything more foolish than facing this new year without Him. The 2007 obituaries in the Greenville News are going to be just as full as the 2006 obituaries were, and one of those names could be yours. Are you ready to meet God? I beg you this morning, if you're here today and you have never given your life to Jesus Christ, don't play games with this matter in this new year. Settle it today before you walk out of this building. And you too can know what we know this morning, that is great comfort from the promised presence of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, where would we be this morning if it were not for a renewed confidence in the absolute providence of God? And where would we be this morning if it were not for the renewed comfort that we find in the promised presence of God? Lord, the events of this week that have taken place just in this little body have been a stunning, reverberating reminder that we are so lost without You. I thank You, Father, that we have You in our lives. And I thank You for the comfort and the courage that that brings to each of us, just knowing that fact. And I pray, Lord, if there is one here this morning who does not know You as their Savior, I pray that in these moments they would call out to You by faith and invite You to come into their life and forgive their sins and make this new year the most amazing year of their life. We thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.